Blog Talk Radio.
Afrika, emuhle, Afrika, omhle, the beautiful African. Good day, good evening, dumela, tobela, molweni, ashe, hotep, sava, assalamu alaikum, absheni. My Africa Science and Technology. They are competing dynasties in the world as we speak. Also, the cyber war, theft, and sabotage of governments and industries, data, and the emerging scramble to conquer space. My Africa, these are the thrust of the latest developments. And the surging rise of artificial intelligence and the rise of robotics industry means more control of individual behavior and mass behavior control. As we speak, my Africa, technology remotely controls and flies planes. And there are collateral effects, occurrences to that. And very soon, my Africa, cars will be driven remotely. We'll be able to can drive. Trucks will be driving themselves on highways and byways. Now, do you not imagine, my Africa, that artificial intelligence and technology already exist to condition and manipulate the human brain, the human body, and behavior? And be assured, my Africa, if there is such technology, it will be or already is being used by global power monopolies on and over Africans to control African Africans. Those who colonized and occupied Africa will continue to want to control Africa by remote control if necessary. In fact, they never completely departed. They never completely left. So the first line of defense of Africa is African unity and continental binding laws, rules, and customs that obligate unity and security among Africans. The individual of Africa comes first. And to strengthen society and government apparatus, institutions to peacefully resolve internal conflicts. Of course, there has to be, we pointed out that an institution that, like the Pan African Court, as well as the Court of African People's Rights, must be reinforced and must be independent. Leadership and government must not interfere with the judicial systems because that is the best oversight and eyes and ears that can keep stability in the communities and nations of Africa. And my Africa, speaking about jailing the body and mind, especially my Africa, the long-term incarceration of individuals, that affects the body and mind, my Africa. And we have the best example of our icon leader and the first president of South Africa, who wanted, my Africa, insisted that he wanted to build himself a house that is the exact copy and replica of his jailhouse. And Africa, there was no expression of horror. Maybe it was done quietly or silently. And no anger against the damage that the incarceration has done, because, yes, you may leave, and we know for a fact that if under colonized oppression, the oppression itself does not leave the mind. But to say that you want to build your house like the jailhouse, and can you imagine, Africa, what else? What else in terms of policy and direction and the involvement and transformation of South Africa was done in the same way, in replica, carbon copy, paste of the white regime? I'm sorry to say it, Africa. And looking at the country today, South Africa, what has changed today except for the fact that we've got the black vote and we've got the black parliament, but my Africa, much worse, we are splintered. We have splintered parties, we have splintered society, we have a splintered national identity, identities, you might say, because it's a conglomeration. Like one bishop said, that is a rainbow nation. How do you call an African nation a rainbow nation? So my Africa, the name itself, South Africa, remains. And what else, my Africa, did the blacks keep or change? Of course, my Africa, we have a few black bourgeois, millionaires, instant, made up quickly. Millionaires and billionaires doing very well, and the majority are in destitute, houseless and homeless. And like for example, my Africa, in terms of the currency, we've got the rent. We just, you know, took it as it is. And the Reserve Bank is, South African Reserve Bank is still autonomous and partly or wholly foreign owned. And talk about the resisting integration of Africa. South Africa is among the few countries, maybe the only one, to resist the one Africa currency that the late Muammar Gaddafi pushed for the whole continent. And Africa, talk about regional integration. Our sister country, Zimbabwe, has suffered, Africa. They've suffered currency fluctuations, devaluations, almost complete collapse. And you remember when a loaf of bread was bought for hundreds of Zim dollars. And nothing clicked. Nothing registered to South Africa to come to the aid of Zimbabwe. And today, Zimbabwe is using basket currencies. For example, US dollar, South African rand, Botswana pula, British pound, the euro, Chinese yuan, Japanese yen, and Australian dollar. Why not the region, Africa? Zimbabwe, South Africa, Botswana, Mozambique, Namibia, Angola, Malawi have one currency to bolster regional trade, stabilize and protect the value of our natural minerals and resources, and the import and export value of trade, goods and services among the nations themselves. Get rid of the borders. Yes, you can monitor the movement of people, but make sure that, because you say we've got the technology that you are using today. I mean, I believe that when it comes to technology, you get electric meters, the one that you pay as you use, pay as you utilize, prepaid card. You've got the technology to bring in. Every time you bring the technology, you oppress the people more. You've got the technology to meter water, prepaid cards for water. Every time you bring the technology, you oppress the people. Now, you can have the technology where it allows the free movement of people. You accelerate the registration of people in documentation, but do not demand visas and fees and all that. And let the people move and develop in the region. But it's not happening in Africa simply because that mentality of copying, following the master. I mean, it looks like there's a tremendous damage that has happened in terms of us talking about transformation and yet following the master. Now, you talk about the African Union, as I pointed out the other day. They are meeting. But where are they meeting? Did the African government for 21 years put up a venue that will make us proud and continue the struggles and the sacrifices of the liberation struggle? No, they are happy to hold it at the Galanga Estate. Galanga Estate. Africa, I wish to, at this stage, let me give respect and mention honor to the veterans of the liberation struggle, especially those among the Africanists. Those that have seen, have listened to, and have heard consistently exemplify the liberation principles of humility, selflessness, and willingness to serve and sacrifice. Maybe it's because they are humble now because they may not have power, state power, or they may not have the trinkets of power or power to wield. And maybe they would be like everybody, any of these petty dictators that hide it, of course, under the emblem of the cloak of democracy. But Mafrika, like one that has mellowed, Mafrika, these Mafrika veterans seem to, and one or two, three of them, seem to seem not to exist. Other Mafrika don't see them or value their wisdom and worth that they can give and contribute to stabilizing the struggle, continuation of the struggle. And this is precisely the reason for the collapse and the belittling in numbers. You know, the falling of numbers and support that the African majority gives to the liberation parties. And the numbers are falling, Africa, because our folks are not open. Our brethren are not open. They have not made a transition from the liberation parties to empowering the people. Simply because they were agents of liberation. They were the catalyst of liberation. But now they've become the full stop. It's like the end of the bridge. You can't move beyond that. You can't move beyond that. They become the gatekeepers, the eaters, everything. And Mafrika, we see among Mafrika the rise of rank opportunism for leadership positions, just out of greed for power. No ideological discipline. The movements, Mafrika, the parties are infected by unending rising factions. And the mass of the people are grabbing onto any leadership figment mimicking liberation. You can go to the people and mimic liberation. They will follow you. They will do everything to follow you because they're just tired of the other folks. And so, Mafrika, we are facing and confronted with a big collapse of the people's support. And following the leadership and splintering into competing entities. So that is the position of Shispik in Africa. And what we see are entities leading individual selves into vicious factions, public name-calling and character assassinations within the ranks of the liberation movements. So even to the sister liberation movement in Zimbabwe, especially the senior liberation movement leadership, we say that we've got Ndala here, Umkulu. I might be wrong, but Umzukuru, Reverend Mugabe. We are blessed, Mafrika, for him to have walked the liberation marathon to this moment, in time. But none of us, and you, may live one more or two decades more. And soon, Mafrika, our bodies, your body and mind will force you to retire and rest. He's the only one. Africa, you do not have another 50 years to walk the liberation and fighting, and while you are fighting, and yet you are fighting and destroying the very foundation and processes it took this long, Africa, with the sacrifice of blood, sweat, and life to build so that tomorrow this can continue, the liberation can continue tomorrow after we depart this earth, because time is closing in. And if you divide and split yourself, curse yourself, cause yourself, use this media today where you click the button and it's like some of you are enjoying it. It's not good, Mafrika. Because if you make a crack, no matter the size of the crack, if you make a split, no matter the size of the split, that in itself is an opening enough for the enemy to come in. And already the enemy may be settled within your ranks. So, Mafrika, we don't need this. Somebody has to howl and say, please, 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 you are old enough, you spend too much time and sacrifice on this thing. Just temper your emotions back. Temper your emotions back and set a foundation for the future of the children. It looks like we are the only ones. And as we pointed out, that the minority in South Africa has seen it. They've transcended their regionalism. They've transcended their grouping. Now they are moving into taking over the black majority, infiltrating the black majority. They don't care if they have a black leader. They don't care. So long as they can manipulate the thing from the ground. And we are the stumbling block, those of us who are supposed to be example and set up the foundation and lead our children to prosperity. We fail to make the transition, and we keep on failing to make the transition. And let's look, Africa, at the experiences in pursuing the unity in the liberation struggle, because some of us need to try to participate in process, especially at the height of the sanctions. And Africa, the experience is that there was two impositions. There were the overt sanctions against Zimbabwe and those who were called terrorists and radicals. But there were covert attacks, more strategic, more targeted, more scientific. And I suspect, Africa, it involved things like artificial intelligence, nano and variable covert technologies that I suspect target. They target your mind, they target your body, and before you know about it, your master, they derail you. You do a thing, you forget tomorrow. You do a couple of things, you forget tomorrow. So you keep on moving and limping like a chicken. At the end of the day, they are watching their control. So I have seen it. And I'm saying this with the experience that I had recently when I was supposed to file a case. Very important and historic. It didn't happen, Mafika, because my body just collapsed. And you talk about living in the belly of the beast. There are dynasties here. They don't play. Because if you mess with their power, especially their ethnic power, you messed up. They will come after you. But it's only us who are divided, more divided today, and speaking bad of one another. Moreover, the United States Justice Department has charged three from Africa, and it charged two conspirators in South Africa of corruption in organizing the FIFA World 2010 Games, Africa, the 2010 World Cup. These charges, Africa, are just charges. These allegations, they need to be proven before the U.S. courts, and the indicted and charged are presumed. You are presumed to be innocent. You are presumed to be innocent until the court has to prove you guilty. So you have a right to refute these charges. Do not panic like these guys in South Africa. Don't panic. Just say that, look, okay, we are waiting. The charges have been made. Prove them. That's it. The biggest concern for that I need to express on this program is that those that amongst us that pimp black people and the condition of black Africans in the world, those who claim, by claim, they pimp us and claim to be fighting to free the poor Africans, global, the poor African global family. Too many thieves, Mafrika, masqueraders, soothsayers, and liberators of the African. Always using conscientious, honorable, universal principles and terms, and global terms, global principles. We are for this. We are African diaspora. We are this. Of course, Mafrika, the South African Football Association, in its public statement, it says that the South African government talked fever to set aside 10 million under the African Diaspora Legacy Program to help develop soccer in Trinidad, Tobago, and the region. Of course, my Africa, that was good. And you stick to that. You said that. But now, my Africa, granted, you talk about African Diaspora Legacy Program and that it will support and provide powerful, irresistible momentum to presence was yours in terms of government. But again, Africa, this is party propaganda. I mean, you are propagating African Renaissance in the West Indies using the African family suffer. Yes, you want to promote shop and it was because Africans do suffer. But why do you dishonorably omit mentioning Pan-Africanist or Pan-African bearers of forebearers of Pan-Africanism? Like George Padmore from Trinidad or Tobago, I'm not mistaken. Padmore, you talk about African Renaissance, but you forget about mentioning. You omit again to mention the likes of George Padmore, Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, Nandi Azikwe, Haile Selassie, Mangaliso. It seems that they never lived, are not worthy to name or remember. To have spearheaded the African liberation, the liberation of African, the liberation of Africa from colonial and apartheid occupation. That's how we pimp each other. Pimping. Stepping on one another. You are not global. You are using global terms, but in your conscience, you are not. You are party political agent. And if it turns out that Jack Warner pocketed the 10 million, he did because he's a crook. But that does not affect you, Safa. And that sort of affects, it shouldn't affect you, South African government, because these guys are crook. He tried 7 million with the Egyptians, 1 million with Morocco, and it turns out that the Germans, when they beat you in 2006, they sold arms to Saudi Arabia. So you are not to be blamed because you got caught up in a cesspool. You did your best, as long as technically and legally, you did not give the money directly to the crook. You did not do that. But why use that for African diaspora and begin to discriminate against your own people? That is my gripe. So in Africa, the charters have to be proven, but do not panic. But do not tout and sell support for African diaspora. Why, since in 1994, you have kept in jail, failed to release for more than 20 years, Pan-Africanist Congress soldiers who fought in the liberation struggle. They are there as political prisoners. You have not released them. They were caught under the apartheid regime. You released them. So, Africa, corruption is global and it is borderless. And FIFA is the best example. So like, for example, Africa, they come in, they burden the poor. By the time they leave with bonuses, they leave with kickbacks, they leave, and the poor people. Poor municipalities are set and use public budgets to maintain and service those stadiums. While there's homelessness, no clean drinking water, nothing, no electricity. And that FIFA policy, raiding of nation sovereignty, the sovereignty of nations, especially the poor nations, has to stop. FIFA must be reined in. When they come in, they do things according to the pairs and do not burden the poor people. And so, Africa, why does a weak and corrupted judicial, civic, and public service ruled by party bosses? Because South Africa is an example, Africa. FIFA will run amok, Africa. Will run amok. And we saw the escalation of corruption and collusion between construction companies. There were murders, assassinations, Africa, relating to these mega projects, building of stadiums. We've had the murder of, unsolved today, the murder of the Speaker of Municipal Assembly in Nelspruit, and another member, the murder of the Deputy Director of Provisional Department of Culture, Sports and Recreation in Nelspruit, same area, about the same stadium. So, Africa, we need to, Africa must separate. It is separate, like, for example, separate party from the state. And you've got to transition the party rule, transition the liberation rule to let the people govern themselves, create space and security for the individual of Africa to grow and enjoy full sovereignty on the continent of Africa. Look what's happening in the Mediterranean. Why are there so many people living the comfort of their homes to go to Europe? And you know that Europe is suffering. They are going to be slaves over there. So let's concentrate power in the people, not the party bosses and petty dictators. Free Africa from these despots and tyrants, man. And you can ask why FIFA did not inform South Africa of the two indicted conspirators. Maybe it was a matter of keeping secret the investigation because, you know, there might be leaks, but also the U.S. investigation goes as far as 1998 and 210. So they might have been waiting for somebody. Already, they already have a whistleblower. They might have been waiting for somebody to flip. Like, for example, Jack Warner says that he wants to disclose everything. He wants to spill out everything. So once he discloses, reinforces the information what they have, because they might have been taping gathering information. And that will support the case against the two indictees. But they have a right to defend themselves. And don't panic, man. Don't be talking about you are choosing sovereignty, you are taking this. Look, the U.S. attorney is African-American. She's African. She might be from Trinidad and Tobago. For my sake. And the former U.S. attorney was black. The president is black. So, look, there are dichotomies. You may argue as to who is holding power. We know who's holding power. But these are black people in charge. And they will not come to South Africa and step on your sovereignty. No, stop making that kind of noise. We have, for example, in Africa, the golden handshake. The National Director of Public Prosecutions giving 17 million rands handshake to walk away. Now, the man says that he disclosed to government the case. They were charging that he had a murder case when he was young. Yes, he had a murder case. That murder was, the case was won. He was discharged on self-defense. Now, he had other charges where he was caught up drunken driving, and maybe with the bar council and whatnot, he disclosed those cases. But it turns out it looked like he did not. And this man, yes, he did not get the security clearance to occupy that position. But what happened? Why? Why was he appointed? Yes, there was a judgment saying that the national director must be appointed. But how that big omission was done? So, and what else? Because he was supposed to go to a commission to find out if he's fit for the job. The commission was stopped. Why? Now you go and give you 17 million rands of our money. Inflationary in Africa. So this is another thing too. We're saying that we've copied whatever the white people did. Now we are worse. Abusing and misusing, because some of the wage structure, the inflationary wage structure, was meant to keep the white high standards of living. And it is disproportionate, Mafika. It is unrealistic. Now, at the same time, Mafika, we have the deputy director is facing perjury in court. And the bar council has applied to strike her off the roll because for the perjury in the case of protecting a corrupt cop. We have other senior prosecutors, Mafika, that are facing perjury charges protecting a corrupt cop. All right, and we've had the head of the Directorate for Priority Crimes Investigation, top police like the FBI, giving a handshake to walk away. In fact, the court told him to go back to work. In contempt of court, the government gave him a golden handshake. Africa, too much concentration of power to appoint people, too much concentration in the presidency, and we need that power to be devolved. Parliament must finally make appointments, and especially on dismissals, it must have oversight on that. We cannot have situations where the presidency hires and fires people because why? He has outstanding cases that needs to be dealt with. We don't run democracy like that. That's why we're saying that give the people the power. Let power devolve to the people, not political parties and bosses. Izolethu Mafika, the land is ours. Fasala rona, shamolashu, tiko rahina. We thank the privilege of talking to you and the privilege of listening to us, Mafika. Give the people the power. Let's build the people's government, not the party government. Thank you, Mafika.